Thank you, boys.
Open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 5. Second Kings chapter 5. In our Bible school, we've spent the last 3 days looking at Old Testament pictures. And when Frank asked me to preach tonight, I didn't see any need in stopping with the few that we've looked at over the past few days. So here in 2 Kings 5, just for a few moments this evening, I want us to look at this account of Naaman being healed of his leprosy this evening. Before we begin, though, consider the words of our Lord. We read there in Luke 4 and 27. He said, many. There were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet. Many. I don't know how many that is. He said many. But we do know this. He was pleased to save one. However many there were, Almighty God in mercy was pleased to cleanse one. And that was Naaman, who we read here of this evening. Many lepers, but God saved one. Look at verse 1 of our text. Here we're introduced to this man named Naaman. It says, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master. Naaman was a man that he was distinguished among men. A great man with his master. Naaman was an honorable man. Another word for that word honorable, as it's used here in this verse of Scripture, is gracious. Naaman was a gracious man. He was kind. He was gentle. He was forgiving. And we read that by him, by Naaman, the Lord had given deliverance. He'd given victory to Syria. I picture him just dressed up in his military outfit, you know, just covered with medals. He was a sight to see. Based on this description, huh? A mighty man. A man who would stand for what was right. No doubt men loved to follow Naaman into battle. A great man, an honorable man, a gracious man, a mighty man. But in spite of all that, in spite of all those worldly traits that we like, I mean, have you read anything in there yet that you wouldn't like to see in your children or in yourself? Look what we read here. Naaman was a leper. He had leprosy. And leprosy, as we know, is a picture of sin. Scriptures say this, there's none righteous. No, not one. It's like they anticipated what we might ask. There's none righteous. None? No. Not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Naaman was a leper. And this leprosy, again, it's a picture of sin. What leprosy is to the body, sin is to the soul. Leprosy was an inward disease. That's kind of surprising, isn't it? Because we think of leprosy, we think of ears falling off and scabs and horrible condition. But it was the real cause was inward. Those sores, that rotting flesh. They were just symptoms of a much worse condition. And our sin is the same is the same way. Much, much the same. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because of what we are, who and what we are. Sinners. Isaiah 1 verse 6 says this, from the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there's no soundness in it. Wounds, bruises, putrefying sores, they've not been closed, haven't been bound up, neither mollified with ointment. An inward disease. Leprosy was a separating disease. Leprosy would have you put outside the camp and separated from men. They were ceremonially unclean. They couldn't even go in the temple to worship. In fact, we read that when they would go out and about, they had to shout, unclean, unclean, so everybody would know it and avoid them and stay away from them. A separating disease. Isn't that what sin is? A separating disease. Isaiah 59 verse 2. Let me just read it to you. Your sins have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. Leprosy could not be cured by human means. A man couldn't do anything to get rid of leprosy in and of himself. He couldn't work to heal his leprosy. He couldn't just say, well, I wish it would go away. A desire. I'll just exercise my free will. Leprosy, go away. It didn't work like that. Man's will couldn't get rid of leprosy. We have this thing of sin. We have no power to put it away. See, it's who and what we are. In those Old Testament scriptures, only God could heal a leper. Only God can make a leper whole. We sing that song, what can wash away my sin? Nothing. Nothing but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He and He alone can cleanse us from our sins. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews 1 in verse 3. Here we read, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins. Who helped Him with that? Did we play a role in that? It's not what it says. It's when He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down. He sat down on the right hand of God. How's that possible? The work is complete. Complete. So here we see Naaman. We see his leprosy, his sin. And then we see something of God's providence. Look at verse 2 of our text. Here we read that the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. I was thinking about this today. What good could possibly come from a little girl, little maid, being taken from her family in a battle and put somewhere else with another family. We know. Now listen, we know all things work together for good. Them that love God, them called according to His purpose. But do you ever read those things and just think, I bet this little girl wondered. I bet her family wondered. What good could possibly come from this? Turn over there to Romans 8. I know we're familiar with this passage of Scripture, but let's look at it in God's Word. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I think when we look at these things, we look at it from our lens. According to His purpose. There's mercy in store for Naaman. Almighty God, who orders and directs all things, He causes, He allows this young maiden to be taken into captivity and places her in Naaman's house, serving Naaman's wife. Moses. Back there when Moses was born, Pharaoh was killing every male child that was born. And the man that would deliver the children of Israel, you think about this, the man that's going to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt is going to be raised in Pharaoh's house. Huh? By his daughter. And listen, the woman that's going to nurse that child is Moses' mother. Isn't that just amazing to think? All things. We know all things work together for good. God's providence. Let's read on here. This maiden, verse 3, she said to her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, with the prophet that is in Samaria, He would recover him of his leprosy." I don't know how old this little girl was. Says she was a maiden. I don't know what she knew, but she obviously knew a few things, didn't she? She knew something about Naaman's leprosy. She knew he had a problem, didn't she? She knew that God could use Elisha, if He was pleased, to heal this man. And no doubt, He was able to cure Naaman of this disease. How important is it as parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles, that we have our children under the sound of the gospel. That they'd be taught of the Lord. That they would be taught from His Word. Taught of the Lord Jesus Christ and His salvation. That they'd be brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That we might be able to say of our children what Paul said of Timothy. He said, from a child. Wouldn't that be, to be able to say that of our young ones? From a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, that they would hear His gospel. That they would hear His word. And hearing they might believe. Faith. Scriptures say faith cometh by hearing. and hearing by the word of God. And this little maiden, she says, would God my Lord were with the prophet that's in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. You know, over there in the book of Esther, Mordecai, he was you're going to destroy all the Jews, and Esther had been made queen, and Mordecai says to her, he said, why don't you go and intercede on our behalf? And she was troubled by that. She was troubled by that. And Mordecai, I don't know how blunt he was, but I mean, he said, you're a Jew. Don't forget you're a Jew. You're going to suffer the consequence of this as well. And you would think it would be easy for the queen to just go before the king, but the law said anyone who came before the king without being invited, they risk being killed. Of course, we know that she went before him, and he raised that scepter in mercy. But you know, Mordecai said this. Mordecai said, he said, you know what, Esther? Maybe, just maybe, this is the reason you were placed here. Maybe this is the reason God made you queen and put you in this place. God's purpose in all things. His providence, ordering and directing all things. You reckon that's why he put this little maiden girl in Naaman's home? For this purpose, for this sake. Fourth, we see man's self-righteousness and pride. That little maiden had told Naaman, she said, go to the prophet of God. There's only one place. There's only one person to go to. She said, go to the prophet of God. Go to him. Go to him for healing. We go to him for the forgiveness of sin. We go to him for salvation. Listen, there's only one place. There's only one person to go to. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. What do we read? Salvation is of the Lord. But Naaman wasn't listening. Or maybe he was, but he thought, I'm a fairly important person, so I should probably go to someone more important than this prophet that you're speaking of. And he goes to the king, takes a letter, takes his gold, takes some changes of raiment. This old sinful nature will lean on anything and everything but the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? We turn to the law. Let the law. We'll keep the law. Huh? Turn to our idols. False idols. We'll turn to our church association. We'll turn to our so-called righteous works. Turn to the priest. We even turn to ourselves. We look to ourselves. In Mark 5, that woman with the issue of blood, scriptures say that she spent everything that she had. She suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had. And what was the result of that? She was nothing better. In fact, worse. She went to the wrong person. She finally went to the right person, and she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. Verse 9, back to our text here. Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Oh, there he is. There he is with his gifts, in his well dressed in his best apparel, a dog and pony show is what we call that, right? And no, I don't doubt for a minute that what he was wearing were long sleeves, probably even had some ruffles to cover up the tops of his hands. Anything to cover his leprosy. Just as Adam and Eve, all the way back there in the garden, knitting those fig leaves together to cover their nakedness, cover their sin. Isn't that a picture of self-righteousness? Huh? The works of our hands. Bringing our own covering. Listen, everything has to be cast off. Huh? Forsaking all others, forsaking all things and clinging to Him and Him alone. The Lord, He told that rich young ruler, remember that? He said, you go and sell all that you have and follow me. Everything you have, follow me. And that young man heard what he was saying. And we read that he went away sorrowful. Those things meant too much to him. He went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. And he could not let go. You know, in contrast, Peter and Andrew, they were out there fishing, cleaning up their nets, been working all day. The Lord went up to them and He said, follow me. They left their nets behind and they followed Him. We must have Christ. We must have Him and Him alone. And Elisha, verse 10, sends a messenger to him. And he said, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. And thy flesh shall come again to thee. Thou shalt be clean. Isn't that a simple command? He told the children of Israel when they had been bitten by those snakes, those serpents. We heard about this week. They'd been bitten by those serpents. One command. Just one. Look and live. Look and live. The keeper of the prison, he asked, what must I do? What must I do to be saved? What is a sinner to do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let's read on here in our text. 2 Kings 5, verse 11. But Naaman was wroth, huh? And he went away, and he said, behold, I thought, our Lord declares in Isaiah 55, this thing's of our thoughts. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. Naaman said this. He said, I thought he will surely come out to me. He'll come out to me and he'll stand and call on the name of the Lord and he'll strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So again, he turned and he went away in a rage. Turn back to Luke chapter 4. Look at verse 27. We read this earlier. Many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet. None of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they that were in the synagogue. Now these are so-called religious people. They're in the synagogue. And look what happened. When they heard these things, they were filled with wrath. And they were pretty angry, weren't they? They rose up, thrust him out of the city, led him under the brow of the hill whereon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. They were furious. Let me ask you, how many men and women have heard the gospel preached and left in anger? You've ate lunch with some of them. Huh? The idea that God saves whom He will, when He will, how He will, that He's sovereign in all things, that He's sovereign in creation, that He's sovereign in providence, that He's sovereign in salvation, defends the natural man, angers the natural man, went away in anger after hearing the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace. Rather than rejoice that He'd be pleased to save one, they went away in anger. That man that was running around the cemetery, naked and cutting himself, couldn't be bound with chains. Our Lord was pleased to heal him. He was pleased to show mercy to him. You know everybody in that town had to see that. They had to see that man and think, what's wrong with him? What is going on? And the Lord Jesus Christ crossed his path. And we read that he was seated. He was sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Seated, clothed, and in his right mind. And the people of that town, rather than rejoice in the Lord showing mercy, they said, we want you out of here. Anger. Went away in anger. Why is that? Seeking to establish their own righteousness, not submitted to the righteousness of God. It wasn't what he thought should happen. It's not what he thought should be done. I thought he would do this. Naaman was wroth. He was angry. And men continue to be angry in our day. Angry with God's sovereignty. Angry with man's depravity. I'm a sinner. Yes. Yes. You're a sinner. That makes it personal, doesn't it? Most folks don't mind when you talk about men in general being sinners, but when you drill down to it's me, well, that's something completely different, isn't it? I'm a sinner. That means there's other people in my family that are sinners, right? Chips away on those false foundations that we've stood on. Angry that this gospel is a gospel that must be revealed. Almighty God must open our eyes and show us our sin, show us our need of the Savior, show us the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ's redemption, it offends man's pride. Naaman would have preferred to do some great thing. Maybe build a gymnasium. Maybe donate some money and have something named after him, right? Nah. The Lord Jesus Christ, He did the work. He did the work. Speaking to the Father, He said, I have finished the work which You gave Me to do. And that offends the natural man. The Lordship of Christ that offends the natural man. Scriptures declare he's Lord. Man's not to be exalted. Man's to be shoved down into the dust. Lord Jesus Christ, he's to be exalted. Naaman, just like every sinner, had to be brought down. To find our place in the dust. Again, Romans 10 verse 3 says, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of Almighty God." And then last, God's power to save. Look at verse 13 and 14 of our text. His servant came near, and he spake unto him. And he said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done that? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean?" Verse 14, "Then he," Naaman, "went down." He went down. Brother Henry wrote this in one of his commentaries. He said, "When sinners are ready and made willing to quit lying, to quit trying, to quit buying, and just bow down. Bow down to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive salvation. You receive it as a gift." Because that's what it is. Receive salvation as the free gift of God. He'll be saved. That man will be saved. That woman will be saved. Well, turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9. Look at verse 10. Matthew 9, verse 10. "It came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I'll have mercy and not sacrifice. For I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Naaman, are you going to do something great? Man, do you think you're going to do something great? Our Lord said, I'll have mercy, not sacrifice. So Naaman went down. Naaman went down and he dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again as the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. He was innocent. Holy. That's what he's done for every believer. Made clean. Made holy. Let me close with the passage of scripture we opened with. Let me just read this to you. We read this in Jeremiah. "Heal me. Heal me and I shall be healed. Save me and I shall be saved. For thou art my praise." Who gets the glory in that? Not man. Not me. We'll hog enough that to ourselves. We'll try to anyhow. God gets the glory in that. All right, Sean, come lead us.
Okay, if you would turn to song number 257, and stand as we sing, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus."